Good morning, everyone. We are going to start this morning with singing the story and number 53, Here to the House of God We Come. Now, at the end, there's two bars of rest, and we are not going to take those. We'll just dive into the next verse. We'll just wait a minute until let the final people come in. I may have jumped the gun here, so we'll give them a minute to get into church.
Just
Please stand if you can.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service. Today, we join with congregations across our nation as we celebrate International Witness Sunday. This year, we consider the question, what is in your hands? What has God given us and our congregation to use to bless our community and strengthen the global body of Christ? Even though the numbers of our witness workers is down, work is continuing on projects and relationship building in many countries. I've put some papers out at the back for you to look at if you're interested about the projects that are going on. As we look at the gifts that God has given us, material or spiritual, around the world, we see that we have enough for all. Just as Jesus faced a crowd of 5,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish, we look at the global body of Christ with faith that God provides. Let's celebrate the gifts and relationships we share across borders and boundaries. Please join me in the call to worship. I will read the light print and we'll read the dark print together. Rejoice, folks, Jesus is in our midst. Feed us, Jesus, and fill us with hope. Be glad, friends. Jesus has bread and fish to spare. Free us, Jesus, from the pursuit of food that does not satisfy. Sing for joy, people of God. God gathers up the pieces of our lives that nothing may be lost. Thanks be to God. Let's bow for prayer. God of our hopes and dreams, we are empty and long to be filled. We are hungry and long to be fed. We are lost and long to be found. Gather us into your love and pick up the pieces of our lives Just as Jesus gathered up the fragments of the 5 loaves and 2 fish that remained after feeding the 5,000, call us anew to eat our fill and to find our true nourishment in Jesus, the bread of heaven. Amen.
Let us praise God together as we sing, and we are going to start with our blue hymn books, number 50, Praise the Lord, Sing Alleluia. Please stand if you can. So I ask you now to change books, and if you go to the purple Voices Together book, we will sing You Are Exalted. We will sing through it twice. It is number 86. And up there.
You are exalted forever, exalted in love.
for your good singing.
Will one of the ushers please come forward this morning? Let's bow for prayer. Generous God, we are a people who have eaten and have had much left over. Your generosity towards us is unlimited. Receive today our offerings, both our first fruits and our leftovers. Multiply them and use them for your mission in our world. Amen.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we bow in worship. We humble ourselves and we recognize you as God, as our God, as God of all creation. And as we have sung, we also confess with our lips and with our hearts that you are sovereign and your creation is amazing. Thank you for giving us the ability to see it, to hear it, and to sense it with all of our being. Help us to continuously be grateful and thankful that your presence, your alive, invigorating presence, is evident everywhere. Forgive us when we look the other way. We pray that you would forgive us for ignoring you, for refusing to acknowledge or accept that you have the right to control and to give authority where you give it and grant it, and in our lives as well. Teach us through your Holy Spirit how to humble ourselves daily, to hear you speak to us minute by minute through every fiber of our being. May we never become so callous that we don't even experience the relationship with you anymore. Revive us, we pray. Thank you for these so many ways that we can experience your goodness to us, that we can share it with each other through the events and the projects and the things that we try to do, reminding one another, spurring one another on to good works. And we thank you for the CMU and for all of the people there. We thank you for MCC. We thank you for International Witness. Thank you for so many different branches and opportunities that we can participate together with to bring glory to your name, not ourselves. We long to see changes in our world. We long for an end to all sorrow and pain. And so we pray for everyone who is connected to Ruth, and the sadness that we feel and the loss that we feel even as we acknowledge her home going. Give us comfort. We pray for the other churches that are also acknowledging you as God, other churches that are leading their people to follow after you earnestly. We pray for Victory Family Church. And we pray for Wildwood Mennonite Church and their leaders. So we also pray for our political leaders at all of the various levels. And we pray for the leaders in Ukraine and Russia. And we pray for peace. We pray for peace back in February. And all of the months that we were praying, and we still continue to pray for peace, and we wonder why it hasn't happened yet, why you allow power in places where it shouldn't be. But we come back to you, and like Mary, we sit at your feet. We listen, we wait, as we gaze at your presence. Therein, everything of this world just fades away. Draw us all in. Hold us close. As we pray just the way you taught your disciples to pray, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to sing number 745 in Voices Together, and that will be up on the screen. Some people will wonder why we're singing an offering hymn, but this is kind of harkens back to Val's opening remarks about how we can use our time and our talents and our money, of course, for the community, and not just the community of Swift Current, but our community of the world. So it's a familiar tune with new words, God Who's Giving.
Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is an epistle reading taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14, to chapter 4, verse 5. And I'm reading from the New International Version. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here ends the reading. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, as we come before you and your word, be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the question that I posed as the title for this message is, what is our witness? Because this is International Witness Sunday, and we think about our international impact through the Mennonite Church, through MCC, through International Witness. And in August of this year, some of you were here this summer when Jeanette Hansen was here, and she preached the message on what is in your hands. I wasn't here, but I was forewarned that she had already preached this message. Don't preach it again. That wasn't said, but I can read between the lines. So although it says on the front of your bulletin, what is in your hands, and it shows the international witness, yes, absolutely, and that's what we want to focus on. We also want to focus today specifically for ourselves. We're not talking about the International Witness Program necessarily, but we're talking about ourselves. What is in our hands? What is our contribution to this worldwide body of Jesus Christ? Because we believe that the church is worldwide. The church is not confined to Zion Mennonite. The church is not even confined to Mennonite. Let that soak in. The church is worldwide. How can we contribute to that worldwide church? How can we celebrate that? How can we build up that body? And I want us to be realistic. Let's look at who we are. Not only ourselves, look at yourself in the mirror. I'm sure everybody did this morning. You all look pretty well put together. We all looked in the mirror. We all decided who we are and that we are now presentable. What is it that we can actually contribute as we are in the position we find ourselves in. So first, I want us to remember, we are here to celebrate that. And these are lines that came straight from, you know, this encouragement to have International Witness Sunday. And Val read them. Celebrate the gifts and the relationships across borders, and bless and strengthen the global body of Christ. Those two things, celebrate the gifts and bless and strengthen the body. And these two things come straight out of this passage, which happens to be the lectionary passage. It wasn't the passage that they gave us to think about for this Sunday. But I thought how good of a coincidence this was when this passage in 2 Timothy that Mel read actually coincides beautifully and very simply with two phrases. Actually, one phrase, twice. It's found in verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14, and then again in chapter 4, verse 5. How are we supposed to celebrate the gifts? Verse 14 begins, "But as for you." Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? "But as for you." Okay, what? We are supposed to be different than what we see around us. I'm not going to spend so much time on what we see around us. If you want to have a reminder, you can read the verses that come before verse 14, because there has to be a contrast. Well, let's look at verse 13 anyway. "But wicked people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving others and being deceived. But as for you," here is the number one thing that is our contribution to the worldwide church. Be proficient in Scripture. And here he begins, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." Okay, you people, look in the mirror again. Continue in what you have learned. We've all learned different things. We've all had different teachers. We've all had different backgrounds. And some of us came through the whole system at Zion. We had Sunday school teachers. We had parents. We had youth leaders. We had friends. We had all sorts of community groupings that brought us to the place that we are right now. Consider all of these. Remember these. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Not only because it's the right thing, but because you can look at those people that taught you these things. Look at their example. Look at their lives. You can trust it because you trust those people that have brought you thus far. We didn't bring ourselves here. We're not so good. It didn't just come to us when we were sitting on a mountain and clarity and all truth poured into us. No, it was by the struggle of the community. Continue in that. The things you've learned and firmly believed, knowing who you learned it and how from your childhood you've known the sacred teachings. Now, I just want to add a little caveat here. This is not saying that we need to hold them in cement the way that we have learned them, because we all recognize we develop and we understand more fully as we grow into the truth that was handed down to us. And how does this happen? This happens by being more often in the Scripture. Always being in the Scripture and in your life, and allowing the Holy Spirit within the community to enliven this Word of God. We've built on this foundation, but continue to be proficient in this Scripture. The foundation is there. You know the sacred writings. Well, some of us maybe don't know them as well as others. I've always envied this friend of mine, David Elkins, from seminary. Wow! He could pull out Scripture verses and not only say the verse or not say somewhere in the Bible it says, but he could say the reference and the scripture. That, to me, is amazing. These are the things that we can't let go of. They're so valuable for our life and for our ongoing learning and development and understanding our lives. When you wander away from it, you lose the most valuable and life-giving thing. You've known this since childhood. The sacred writings are there. They're able to instruct you for salvation. All scripture is inspired by God. Everything from Genesis through Revelation, it's all God breathed. God is continuing to breathe through it, making God's self known to us through the scripture. Now, we become a little bit, I don't want to use bad words, but you know, we become harsh or narrow-minded when we don't truly and fully know the scripture. When you know it a little bit, aha, there's a good verse, and you wham people over the head with your favorite scripture without fully and completely knowing these words. I have a quote for you. This quote says, and this is a person who said, I learned it, I practiced it, and then I passed it on to others. Oh, doesn't that sound lovely? Doesn't that sound wonderful? I learned it, I practiced it, and then I passed it on to others. However, this was a very, very negative quote, and it came out of this book. It's called A Church Called Tov, which means good. And it's all about how we can form a church of goodness. And this person quoted this as saying, within this culture of this particular church, I learned how to domineer, how to strike fear in other people's hearts by being overly critical. I learned it in this culture of this church, not Zion Church, sorry, of this particular church. I experienced it, I learned it, I practiced it, and then I passed it on. So let's take a warning from that and recognize here as we gather, we're forming a culture of Zion Mennonite. And what is this culture? Is it really a culture that's based in the scripture as God breathed it? That is good for us. And the reason we need to be proficient in this scripture and celebrate it is verse 17, so that everyone who belongs to God, you might be reading your NIV and saying, oh, men only. Nobody's looking down. Well, there are a few people looking down. What? Men only? Really? So that every man may be? No, no, no. So that every person. And there's no age here. There's no gender here. There's no border line. So that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient. Why do we want to be proficient? And why are we celebrating this proficiency in scripture? Equipped for every good work. This is the basis upon which these good works are built. On knowing the scripture, understanding who this God is and what our relationship to this God is. And then from there, as the springboard, we can go into these other good works that many of us love to do. I'm here to remind us and to encourage us and to celebrate this wonderful history that each of us enjoys from our childhood. Hang on to that, because when you don't, you can veer off into strange things and be deceived so easily and be mad about being deceived or get annoyed with all of the other people that you see that are being deceived. Back up the train. Come back here and say, okay, I need to come back to scripture. I need to sit with God. Understand the Holy Spirit is giving life to these scriptures. And then we can develop this culture of goodness based in God's good law. And then it will push us, through proficiency of Scripture, push us to do every good work for the community. The basis is proficiency in Scripture. Remember, but as for you, that's the first thing. But as for you, proficient in Scripture. The second but as for you comes from chapter 4, verse 5. There it is again. But as for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of good news. And this is how we can bless and build the community, not just our Swift Current community, not just the Mennonite community. Those are communities, but we can even bless the international community. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, yeah, here it comes. I know, give to MCC, give to this, give to that. Everybody wants us to give. I'm not even talking about that. I'm just suggesting that through the foundation of our proficiency in Scripture, then we build on that and we become capable of doing the ministry of good news. And by doing that good news ministry, we are blessing the entire international community. It always used to be the mission call. You know, you'd use this, and then anybody here who feels called to go and do missions, called to go and be a missionary, oh, and then everybody would stand back and say, whew, I'm glad it's not me. Send that person. And this person or that person goes as our missionary. And then we're all happy and relieved, and we put money towards it, and we say we're off the hook. We're not off the hook. We are here with a foundation of proficiency in Scripture given to us, celebrating that history, and then building on that to build up the body of Christ. We build up the body of Christ through the ministry of good news. Good news. So how is who we are and what we do and what we say, how is this good news to our neighbors? Well, that's for each of us to discover. But that is the foundation on which we go out. That's the foundation on which we bless the international community. People are dying for their faith in other places. We are not. People are suffering for their faith. We are not. But surely when they are struggling, our brothers and sisters are struggling so strongly, can we not, in this corner of the world, with what we have, at least proclaim good news? Can't we recognize what is good news to our neighbors? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Proclaim it. Here, Paul is saying to Timothy, proclaim it. Oh, no, don't make me proclaim anything. Well, don't worry, you don't have to preach. Nobody wants to hear preaching. Even the people that come here on a Sunday morning don't want to hear preaching. So how do we proclaim good news? Think in new ways. Think in your own way. How can you proclaim good news? By being friendly, by being loving, by being welcoming and open. This alone is proclaiming good news. And you know what else? Look at verse 2. This is very important. Proclaim this message of good news. Be persistent. Convince, rebuke, encourage. Oh boy, that doesn't sound good, but with utmost patience. So I'm going to go back and we take that with utmost patience and apply it. Convince with utmost patience. We don't even have to go any further. That's the hardest part. Convince people. This is our task. convince with utmost patience, rebuke with utmost patience, encourage with utmost patience. You know, I was trying to encourage someone yesterday, and they didn't want to be encouraged. They wanted to continue to repeat the things that were discouraging them. And I was trying to encourage. And it wasn't my husband, by the way. But do all of these things with utmost patience. And then it becomes the good news to our neighbors. Carry out your ministry fully, which is the good news. But we can't do that unless we know it ourselves, unless we spend time in it ourselves. So this is what we can enjoy. This is what we can savor. The proficiency of Scripture. But as for you, be proficient. But as for you, strengthen the entire body and celebrate. We all have to keep doing our part. Equipped for every good work, doing the work of the good news.
Thank you, Lois. I know as I go into the week, I'll think back to the sermon and wonder what Lois said. So I decided this week I was going to write down phrases. So one phrase was carry out your ministry fully. Another, proclaim good news. And third one, witness based on proficiency of Scripture. So thank you, Lois. Let's turn to 389 in the Blue Hymn Book. And very familiar hymn, Take My Life, and probably at this time in the service you're looking at six verses and wondering which ones we're going to sing. We are going to sing all of them because it's short. So, and I couldn't really decide which one wasn't important. So they are all important. So we're going to do verse 2 is going to be the women, verse 4 is going to be the men, and verse 5, Carla, is going to be a cappella. So will you stand and join me in singing this, and I'll remind you as we go through.
Please bow for the benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and through grace gave us eternal comfort and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Amen.
If you have Voices Together book, please turn to 849. We, your people, sing your praises. If you don't, it's up on the screen here. Once through.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.